You are listening to episode number 266 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
Now with 33% less warriors.
Love is but a song we sing. Fears we will die. You can make the mountains ring. Oh, make the angels cry. Though the bird is on the wing, and you may not know why. Come on, people now, smile on your brother, everybody get together.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast, except this time, not exactly the Mighty Warriors 3, but the Dynamic Duo. I'm your host, Ben, a.k.a. the Marvelous Iggy, joining me, whose Skype avatar is Thanos with a crown on his head, with the Infinity Stones in said placement slots, Mr. Brian Powers. Brian, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm glad to be here, and I was kind of hoping Taser was here because he would see that, and I think he would like it. But unfortunately, Taser has been lost to parts unknown in the Grand Metropolis of New York City, and Jonathan Courtwright's car probably broke down somewhere. So
he's too busy fighting the hand.
Indeed, fighting them with putting his boot up their asses, so to speak.
Probably, he would be the Luke Cage of our group, not just because he's the black guy, but because. Like, he'd be the one to get the most rough, I guess.
Yeah, I could kind of see him throwing down, I guess. I gotta absolutely see that. Although that does make me question exactly who Taser would be, because he was kind of our default black guy. And
No, I said Taser would be Iron Fist. Would be Luke Cage.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, no.
I thought you were saying John would be Luke Cage. I'm like, John's pretty cool, don't get me wrong, but...
No, John is our Iron Fist.
Oh, really? I wanted to be Iron Fist.
Of course you wanted to be Iron Fist. But you know who we're not, who none of us want to be, and that's Jessica Jones. Oh. And much to my dismay, Jessica Jones is getting a season 2. And it seems that a familiar face is coming back to season 2 of Jessica Jones, despite having his neck snapped. Spoilers, by the way. So David Tennant is coming back. No official word on... how he's coming back, or why he's coming back, but I have guesses. But Brian, I wanted to get your thoughts first on David Tennant coming back in season 2 of Jessica Jones.
Well, first of all, let me just say I'm absolutely thrilled to have him back. I know, Iggy, you were not the biggest proponent of Jessica Jones in season 1. And, you know, not being the biggest fan of the show, I can see why you might have tuned out. But if I can just – I mean, obviously we know how big of an impact David Tennant has – Kilgrave, the Purple Man, had. I mean, this was a guy who for years had played a beloved British campy sci-fi icon, and then all of his fans tuned in to watch him on Jessica Jones, and they all immediately had nightmares about the kind of person he was, because he was a sick, sick fucking individual, and everyone was like, oh, I'm so triggered, and I can't stand this, and you know, that's all well and good, but I think that's sort of takes away from exactly how good he was at playing such a manipulative, immature narcissist. And it's really something to behold when you watch it. And I'm glad he's back. I think he's a great actor, even though I'm not I'm not really a Whovian in any sense of the word. But I think he did a bang-up job as Kilgrave. And I'm stoked to see him back because he is on when he is Kilgrave. Like, he's so fucking out there and disgusting and just vile, but he makes it for a great villain. And if I could change only one thing from Jessica Jones, I probably would have let him sail off into the sunset and just kind of bring him back at your leisure, or even just throw him in jail, really. I don't think you had to necessarily kill him because, as you probably can guess, Ben, there are a few ways they could bring him back, but... But yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see him back. I think he does a great job as Kilgrave, and I think it will help to sort of underscore the season 2, because what we see in Jessica Jones at the end of the series, and even in Defenders to an extent, granted I'm only up to episode 4 or 5 at this point, whereas you're almost done with the series, Ben, is the sense of progress in Jessica Jones' life. And, you know, if they're really sticking to the whole victim thing, it's probably going to help to have that presence there represent sort of like a backslide almost. So, But I'm happy to see him back, and I'll let you kind of cover where you think you'll see him or how we'll see him pop up. So.
I mean, given that Resurrection isn't exactly... I mean, it's a thing that happens in the Netflix universe, you know, with certain characters. But I don't think this is actually going to be like a full-on resurrection of the Purple Man. Personally, I believe that it's just going to be psychic residue of, like, it's like, it's going to be psychic residue where you can't exactly erase the trauma of what Jessica went through, despite that her killer, the person who tormented her, is dead. And I'm pretty sure it's going to tie into, you know, the whole IHG stuff they found, and what's the guy with the American flag face?
Nuke.
Yeah, that, because he was involved in it somehow.
Yeah, there was a whole, like, government conspiracy contractor cover-up thing. And...
yeah, it's either going to be, like, consciousness as she's thinking about him for some reason, or it's going to be flashback sequences. Like, it's either one of those two. Like, I think it's dumb either way. I would be okay with more of the psychic residue kind of thing, where, like, she's reliving moments despite that her killer is gone, because she still hasn't, like, she hasn't emotionally embraced the fact that he's gone. But I would be more okay with that than, say, flashback sequences, unless it was for the nature of the story of this government conspiracy.
Yeah, I mean... as far as flashbacks goes, I wouldn't be too keen on that, because we got most of what was necessary in Kilgrave flashbacks in season one. That was what the whole season one focused on, was her flashing back to the original time she'd spent with Kilgrave and just sort of, you know, working off that. So I'm with you more in the sense of, like, a psychic residue type thing, like a thorn in her brain or something like that. And it'll be interesting because, you know, I mean, a lot of what Jessica did and what she didn't do and what she thought she was doing. I mean, she spent a lot of the time in season one initially afraid of the Purple Man because she thought she would fall back under his control, and he sort of, there's no telling who he got to until it's too late. And so I think for her, if it comes up like she can't trust herself, that would be an interesting angle to play with. But as far as that goes, I mean, I'm just excited to see him back. I think he's great as Kilgrave, and I'll be looking forward to it in season two. I don't know about you, Ben, but I'm definitely looking forward to it. So
I mean, like, he was the best aspect of season one, like his performance, like, of how creepy he was and how unsettling he was. That doesn't mean I'm, you know, looking to fucking go through that shit again. I'm just not.
Yeah, it's have you ever seen the Netflix series Black Mirror?
No, I've heard about it, but there's too many original Netflix series for even me to keep up with shit.
Fair enough. In that case, then, for anybody who has seen it, I would say that the line between this and that sort of draws a very stark comparison, because it tells these very well thought out, sort of engrossing stories, but they're almost all very depressing and downtrodden, and they're very dark, and, you know, it's... there is a market for that, but too much of any one thing can be bad, especially for, you know, a person who develops certain tastes in entertainment. Like, if you go into something expecting, like, a lighthearted superhero story, no, that ain't it. That's probably the opposite of what you're going for. So I would advise you to go elsewhere, but at the same time, if you're down for some dark storytelling, give Jessica Jones a try, and do not skip on David Tennant, because he is positively delightful.
All right, well, let's move on to another bit of news, which is concerning the Inhuman shenanigans.
Yes.
Because it's shenanigans.
It is absolutely shenanigans. In case you missed it, there's been a bit of negative press around the Inhumans as of late. There's been some arguments that it doesn't look to be up to the quality of the usual Marvel Cinematic stuff, and... it may be closer in spirit to the TV stuff, but even the TV stuff, I feel like, seems of better quality than this. And, you know, the acting kind of seems stilted, the production value doesn't seem that great, and everything sort of seems... I don't know. If it seems like it's rushed, though, it's probably because it was. According to one of the guys who worked on the show, Roel Rein, he's a director who shot the first two episodes of the TV series, which will be in the IMAX theater for the big premiere. Apparently, he was given a very tight schedule and a very low budget to hold himself to. He said he had TV schedule time to shoot it with IMAX cameras, 20 days to shoot 2 episodes. And I've heard from another news source, if you've ever heard of Kevin Smith's podcast or show Fat Man on Batman, Mark Bernardin, he works for the Hollywood Reporter or Entertainment Weekly, one of those magazines. He said the entire series was ordered, shot, and said to be done within about 6 weeks of time. Now, for those of you who don't know, that's an insanely small window to be working with. That is almost unthinkable. I mean, TV shows nowadays on, like, basic channels shoot over the course of their season. They shoot from, you know, advancing in the fall, then there's a break, and then they come back and shoot some more episodes, and they kind of work off that. It's a bit of almost like a catch-up thing. To have a TV show be done in about 6 weeks, not even 2 months, and 20 days to shoot 2 episodes on IMAX cameras, which have all these special techniques and tech in them, that is unheard of, and that is insane. And you get the director tries to almost save face a little bit, because he says that he was trying to bring about some radical concepts and try to do some new innovative things. But how much can be done with 6 weeks, not even 3 weeks to shoot 2 episodes? That is insanity. So knowing that, I think this show was capped in the knees from the gate. I mean, this thing had no chance if this was the schedule and the budget they were holding it to. No word on exactly what the budget was, exactly.
Judging by the sets and the effects, not very big.
No, not at all.
Not for what it needed to be.
So, I mean, Ben, I guess, what do we take away from this when it's just that Marvel TV, at least the TV division still under Ike Perlmutter, is constraining itself like this?
It's out of spite. It has to be out of spite over what the cinematic is doing. Because remember, this was supposed to be a Marvel Cinematic Universe film.
Yeah. And then it got pushed off into We'll Get Around to It Land, kind of.
Yeah, because it got caught up in the whole debacle of the division.
Yeah, the movie versus TV. Oy, oy, oy. But, I mean, yeah, just, I mean, what do you think? Any heavy thoughts? Because I know you weren't big on the Inhumans, and you didn't really have to.
Like, I feel sorry for the director, because it's clearly not his fault. Like, I it's clearly Marvel was just like, we need to do this, we need to capitalize on this as soon as possible, and, you know, we need to capitalize as soon as possible, and you can, like, it's similar to Suicide Squad, you know, when who was the director?
David Ayer.
David Ayer. I don't know why I was going to say David Taylor, because that's a comic writer. David Taylor was given only so much time. Like, I think he was given like a month to write the script and then start shooting almost immediately. Which is like, you can't expect. And I'm sure Marvel TV is like worthy performances or good performances in such a short amount of schedule. You got to let things breathe a little bit. I mean, I said it before when we talked about the trailer when it was released. Like, they know. I have the feeling that internally they know that this is not going to be good. They're only doing this so that way Marvel Cinematic doesn't get their hands on it.
Yeah, like the Fantastic Four movies that Fox keeps producing in order to push each other out. Do you want to pause it here and address the taser part of it, or
the taser part of it?
Yeah, taser's on. He just messaged. He's online. You want to bring him in?
But yeah, I think we're just gonna keep moving on. But yeah, this is just this is just not good for what's coming. I don't think any of us had any high expectations. None of us had any high expectations of Inhumans being good. This pretty much confirms to everybody that this is going to be a shit show from start to finish, and that they probably spent all the budget. Marvel TV's probably spent all the budget on those cameras, those IMAX cameras, but they didn't take an effect of giving the director enough time or hiring for better costumes. It just confirms everybody's suspicion. Also, welcome Taser to the show.
Yay!
Hey, Taser! Welcome to be tardy to the party, buddy. How you doing?
Yay!
So, Taser, we're just discussing the recent Inhumans debacle that happened. Apparently, the director of the first two episodes came out and said he was given 20 days to shoot two episodes on an IMAX camera with a very low budget, and the total series was done in about 6 weeks' time. So we're discussing a little bit about how that kind of capped the series in the knees right out the gate. So. Yeah, that's about the size of it, I think.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous.
Oh gosh. You gotta love Marvel TV. You just gotta love it.
Yeah. No. I mean, really, what are they, I mean, they have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to their name, and don't, like you were saying, Ben, that definitely has its worthy performances. Agent Carter, while downplayed, definitely had some decent moments and stuff. When they get
despite only being one season.
But
don't
when
start
given,
that.
When given the proper creative and time to breathe, stuff can be good, and I just don't think this was given that. So, Taser, any closing thoughts on the Inhumans thing before we shuffle on along, I guess?
All I can say is, based on the teaser and that pseudo-trailer, whatever it was that came out, it didn't look good. And then, on top of everything, you know that they'd have to water down the property for television. And the Inhumans, and we're talking the royal family, that's not really something you could do that with. You know? It's not. So, to hear something like this, it sounds like they iron-fisted. You know, so I'm not surprised. Just not surprised at all. Not surprised.
All right, let's move on to our final bit of news, which is the fact that Dracula lives
again.
Dracula lives again because that son of a bitch kid. You can never keep a good Dracula down. So it looks like Marvel is releasing a whole bunch of horror comics for this Halloween. A lot of these are collections, including Tomb of the Dracula, The Complete Connection, Volume 1, Marvel Horror, The Magazine Collection, and other shenanigans like that.
Frankenstein Monster, Werewolf by Night, just classic 70s horror cheese. Something that Marvel, I guess, was better known for. I don't really know much about it.
Does this mean we get to see Blade and Hannibal King in action again?
Nope, probably
Aww.
Not. This is just reprints. I'm surprised they haven't done a reprint of Blade.
That's what I'm saying, because you know those are two characters that you know featured prominently in you know that book back during the 70s and the very early 80s, I think, when it got canceled.
Probably then. I wouldn't be surprised if they're not. I mean, if they were in the book and it's being reprinted, I'm pretty sure they're going to be in it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, go ahead, Brad.
I was just going to say, it looks like Blade is slated to appear as it includes Tomb of Dracula number 1 through 15 and Dracula Lives number 1 through 4, which did include the first appearance of Blade. So,
What I was going to say is I had actually read the, I believe it was the issue of Doctor Strange where they eliminated vampires from the Marvel Universe for I think it was almost a decade. And I am not a vampire fan. I really loathe vampire tales, okay? And it has nothing to do with sparkly vampires or anything else like that. I just never really warmed up to the whole, you know, neck.
You never
thing.
Felt compelled to read the vampire like this.
But I will say, that issue, that was actually a really solid, dark, magic-y issue, because it involved the Darkhold, it involved, King, Blade, I think Agatha Hart, no. What's the vampire hunter family? Van Helsing, The female,
Helsing.
Yeah, it was the
of the Helsing clan.
Of the female Van Helsing. And it was actually a big to-do because the vampires of the world found out about it, Dracula, of course, being, you know, primary, and they assaulted, I believe it was the Sanctum Sanctorum, you know, and I mean, the vampires all over the world just kind of went, screw it, it's time to go for broke. We need to get here and we need to do this. And that was actually one of the better Doctor Strange books I'd ever read back when I was, well, younger than Bri-Bri at this point. Yeah, I think I might have been like 14 maybe. And after that, and I mean, really, it eliminated vampires from, you know, Marvel Earth. And they didn't come back, not even a little bit, until I think Marvel did that Darkhold series back in the mid-80s. And, you know, after that, it was like, oh, vampires are back because they've been gone too far, too long, whatever. But, so if they actually reprint that, I'd actually recommend picking it up because it was a really gripping, engrossing story. And this is from somebody who really hates vampire shit. You know, I loved it. I fucking loved it.
All right.
That's all I have to
well,
give you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, last a complete oversight on my end because I'm the fighting game guy. There was a new story trailer released from Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, which at the time of this recording releases less than a month from now. Have either of you seen this?
I did not know it existed. I'm going to watch
yeah.
it right now, then.
Yeah, so I'll go, while you guys are watching, I'll go get a summary of the trailer. So basically, this is a story trailer. So we get, this is the first time the Marvel vs. series has ever seen as a story mode. So I'm not going to lie, it is kind of cool to see, like, these ridiculously over-costumed Capcom characters with the Marvel heroes. Like, you see Morrigan with and Ghost Rider teaming up against Jedha Doma. Dr. Light from Mega Man's in this, you know, it's not everybody, but considering they're all 3D models, it's, you know, you can only do, it takes a lot of work to do 3D models and have them all look and act uniquely different. But this is kind of cool to see, and I'm really excited to do a story mode, to play the story mode on this. I know a lot of people don't play fighting games for their stories, but, like, you know, I want to, because I want to see what kind of insane bullshit comes out of this, because this looks great. And I'm pretty sure this is not, if the trailer is not in-game, I think it's using in-game assets, but it's not, like, running it real-time, because obviously it's a 2D fighter and everything like that. But they fixed Chun-Li's face, if you don't know, because in early iterations of the trailer, Chun-Li had a pretty messed up face, namely from the
E3. What the hell is that giant black thing? Holy shit.
That's a symbiote. yeah. Well, the symbiote basically confirms that Venom's going to be DLC. At least that's what all the people, that's what it's been pointing to.
Boom, DLC, boom.
Yeah. There was a moment where Hulk 3 Ryu via fastball special, which I thought was pretty cool. There's a lot of cool moments in here. Like, I'm not really happy with
Ghost Rider. I do like seeing Ghost Rider. Oh shit, Strider. Nice.
Yeah, Strider here using it. Yeah, this is going to be pretty fucking cool. Like, it looks as crazy as a Marvel Infinite story mode would be.
Ghost Rider's pretty dope. I'm going to agree with Taser on that. I'm glad to see Ghost Rider showing up. I don't know if we knew Nova was going to be in, but I'm glad Nova's there. He looks like he'd be cool to play with.
Honestly, I am so fucking tired of Ultron. Ultron is a joke of a character. I've never really liked Ultron in the comics or anywhere. I do like seeing Nova. I will say that. Shenley does look better. Holy shit.
Yeah,
Rocket. Okay, whatever. Rocket's there. Who's that main character that they first encounter in the middle of Manhattan?
Oh,
the Japanese whoever.
The purple dude?
Yeah.
His name is Jedha Doma. He's from the same series as Morrigan. Yeah, he's another. He's the only second Darkstalk. No, third Darkstalkers character to be in a Marvel vs. Capcom game. They usually pearl Morrigan because she's the figurehead, and the cat lady Felicia because, you know, got to get the furries in.
Actually, using her is kind of fun. I played a little bit of the first one. She was pretty fun to use.
Jedha's Doma is sort of, Jedha's deal is sort of like, the world is imperfect, and only he can reshape the world in his image. He's very like melodramatic, and they changed his.
They're nice.
He's DLC.
Nice.
I see the fastball special. All right, there you go.
Hulk throwing for you. I never thought I would say that in my life.
That's pretty dope.
Hagar's. Seeing Hagar. Yeah. Nemesis. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, if he's a fighting character, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, Nemesis is part of the roster.
Not bad, not bad.
Yeah, he was also. I mean, a lot of the characters in this game were from the last iteration of Marvel vs. Capcom. So, only a third of the new game is new characters.
Okay, I see they got Mega Man X instead of the regular, old school Blue Bomber, but that's fine.
Well, considering every other Mega Man but him has been in a versus game.
Oh, that's fair. No, I agree with you. Yeah. And he looks good here. Nice stylized, crisp colors. This is, freaking HD shit. That's not bad. I haven't seen him do anything, but he looks good. He definitely looks good here.
Yeah, I'm going to try to let's play the story mode when it comes out. I'm going to find some way to do it.
I will watch
that. Yeah. Because the story mode, if it's anything like Street Fighter V story mode, it's piss poor easy, so it won't take me long to get through it. Except for the final boss will probably be super cheap, considering it's a fusion of Ultron and Sigma. But we'll see how it goes. But thoughts on the trailer, dudes?
I like seeing Ghost Rider there. I can't help it. Seeing Clint Barton there, though, in the new outfit. Ah! Clint Barton's a fun character to have, but he's not a fighting game character. You know what I'm saying?
He was in the last one. Although in the last one he had his classic costume.
To be honest, I don't care about the costume this time around. Go figure. I'm not playing purist. Just the idea of Clint Barton in a fighting game. He doesn't come off as fighter. Warrior, yeah, but close combat fighter. And even if they'd have had him doing the swordsman stick. Or back when he had the that black outfit and he was calling himself something different.
Ronin.
Yeah, Ronin. If he was pulling the Ronin outfit, I'd buy it.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's a costume for him later down the road.
That makes sense, too. It really does. But, him doing
he's
an archer
still a
thing?
Trained combatant and, like, bowman and all that other stuff.
But so's... There's a lot of people that you could say that of. That I might give a pass to and might, kind of put it off with. Would you put Punisher in this?
No, but, it's a fighting game, so ultimately it doesn't matter because they're all going to do crazy shit. I would love to see what kind of crazy gun combos you could do with Punisher, like shooting somebody, bouncing off the wall, then shooting him again. I would love to see what kind of crazy shenanigans. I mean, to look at an example, like Deadshot, in Justice 2 can do some crazy kind of shit.
Really?
With bouncing bullets.
I haven't bothered.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. That's my take, This looks good, I have no interest in buying it and playing it whatsoever, but it looks like it's going to be a quality product. Saying Capcom doesn't DLC every other fucking thing that, comes on the disc, at launch.
We'll see.
I'll actually cross fingers on that because, dick moves are dick moves, Capcom. Don't do that shit again. Seriously. At least don't do it as much. Something. I don't know. Bri?
All right, Liz. All right, Brian, give your thoughts on the MVCIA story trailer.
It looks like it's a Civil War mashup with some Street Fighter thrown in. And, Civil War can be cool. A little overdone, but it looks cool. I'm a little shocked that Thanos is the thing everybody's fighting over. But, regardless of that, though, I mean, like we were saying, I'm glad Ghost Rider's there. I'm glad Black Panther is there. I'm glad Nova's there. It adds a little bit extra something that I think was missing from the initial character roster leak. That we discussed some weeks ago, and I don't know. It's been so long since I've taken in a Marvel vs. Capcom game, so I'm a little almost out of the loop. But suffice to say, I'm kind of intrigued. I might give it a shot. With the character roster they have lined up, I mean, I like the idea of playing some of these characters. Like we said, Ghost Rider, Nova, Rocket and Groot definitely jumps out at me as one. And you know what? I kind of miss having a fighting game to go back to every once in a while. Everybody's got one series that they like, and everyone's got their own preference or whatever. Mine used to be Soul Calibur, but I don't think that went so well.
Soul Calibur, It might not have. No, actually, Soul Calibur still gets a lot of respect. If anything, I can't say for how
they just haven't. They haven't made a new game in a while.
Well, fair enough, but I mean, let's be fair here. The fighting game genre is not what it was, like, you know, 15, 20 years ago. So...
No, but there's still more. I mean, like, if you like, as a person who actually plays them and plays a lot of them, like a lot of people are calling this current day and age of fighting games the fighting game apocalypse, because there's so many of them now than there were, say, 10 years ago when it was just really Street Fighter 4. And then, now you have Mortal Kombat X, Injustice 2, Street Fighter 5, and a whole bunch of other smaller things that, like, everybody, Tekken 7, now this game, and a whole bunch of shit just keeps coming out. So it's like, it's not as robust, yes, but it is definitely more robust than it was 10 years ago, to the point where it's like there's so many people playing.
Well, I won't argue that. All I'll say is this. If Capcom's going to add other characters via DLC, and you know something tells me Miles Morales will be one of them, because bring in Gwenpool. I would like to see – and I don't normally care about her or the book or anything Deadpool normally beyond the movies. But her in this game, I think, would be a lot of fun, you know? I mean, A, extra female character. B, somebody who's off-kilter, similar to Deadpool, similar shtick. And, oh, there goes your gun character. I think she would be an interesting fit for, you know, the roster for this game. And I think she's different enough that, you know, it would be a good fit, you know. But no, I know nobody's listening, so if it happens, you owe me money, Capcom and Marvel.
Nah. All right. Well, let's move on to individual reviews, ladies and gentlemen. I reviewed Ultimates 100, a.k.a. the final issue of Ultimates, because I read the letters page at the end. Yeah, it's over. Let's go home. Oh. I don't know if I missed an issue or not, but, like, somehow... Like, we knew Maker, a.k.a. Reed Richards, from the Ultimate Universe was all around, but I assumed everybody else died, you know?
Yeah.
I assumed, but, like, all of a sudden, like, Ultimate versions of Iron Man, Captain America, the Wasp, the Hulk, they're all there.
That doesn't make any sense.
Like, I think
no
somebody,
whatsoever.
Yeah, I think, I might have missed something, but I'm pretty sure either the High Illusionary or Maker brought them into existence again or something. Worst thing I hate about this issue was the obviously forced Captain America referring to the line that Mark Millar made iconic, which was, "Do you think this AMI forehead stands for France?" Which was just like,
what did
they
say?
Like,
what was the line?
Because, like, it's like the Ultimates about to do battle with the new Ultimates, and then Cap, for some fucking reason, I don't know who says it. I think Tony starts talking to him about it. And then, like, Cap just goes, "This AMI forehead doesn't stand for France." And I went, "Fuck you."
Oh,
just like that, like, it, I get callbacks, right? Callbacks are fine. But it's like, that shit wasn't necessary. That wasn't necessary at all. Like, it just felt so fucking forced. Like, the art was fine. There was some crazy costume shit. Apparently there's other firmaments of, I don't know, it was fucking weird. Infinity is in free from, or not Infinity, Destiny, is that the thing, right?
Destiny, that's the one who...
The one that's the physical embodiment of our universe is freed from his chains from the first firmament.
Eternity,
yeah. I was thinking, I don't know why I was thinking Infinity, no, that's not. Destiny is the mutant character.
An abstract named Destiny, a little old lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Lobos, or the weird thing that became of Chaos and Order.
You mean that thing?
Yeah, they're okay again. Basically, everything but Galactus got reset. Like, Galactus is still the life giver, which I thought was interesting. I thought they were gonna, and in fact, the writer in the back says that the plan initially was to make Galactus go back to normal at the end of it, but it's like, nah, we ain't doing that.
So wait. So is it fair to say that, for all intents and purposes, throughout Volume 2, nothing happened?
They freed Eternity from the chains. The Ultimates are technically back in the universe. Like, they're alive.
Yeah, Ooh, they're back alive, and Eternity is freed, but considering how old this current version of the Marvel Universe is, Eternity being freed doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot, okay? Galactus is no longer normal. He's the life giver, which means, you know, he's, you know, fucking flower child, okay? So it's basically everything is what it was minus the Eternity thing from when they started. How much is different?
I don't know.
Yeah, see, that's my point. That is exactly my point. That's why I stopped reading this book. That's exactly why I stopped reading this book. And I didn't even know it was ending. I'm hearing this first from you. And I'm glad I stopped. I'm so fucking glad I stopped. Fucking Marvel. God damn it.
Yeah, well, it's over. It's over. All right, but that's my review. 3 out of 5.
Oh, by the way, hello, Mexico City. Because I started sharing our show over there with the last show. So, yeah, hello. Buenos noches.
Or buenos dias, depending on when they're listening to this. Or
no, because it's like freaking almost, it's 9 o'clock, so I would say.
When our time. But it may be good morning when they start listening to this.
Oh, that, you know, that's true. Fair point. So, hello. Either way, glad to see you guys, because I saw a whole bunch of people liking this show, like within actually 4 hours. You know, we got quite a few positive hits and a lot of likes, you know, from the last one. So thank you very much. You know, it's good to see you guys on board. There you go. All right. Yay.
Brian, what are you viewing?
Hey, it's me. I'm reviewing Iron Fist number 6, which is the issue sticking off the new shorter story arc featuring Shang-Chi included in this one. So we pick up after the tournament on the island, which was actually a really good story arc, by the way. I'm not sure if it says anything, but me and John, whenever I bring up I'm reviewing Iron Fist, John is always so disappointed his comic store doesn't get it. So that being said, this has been a great little run of Iron Fist so far, and I'm looking forward to reading it in the future, especially when they bring in Sabretooth for the Legacy renumbering. But I would strongly advise, if you're not reading Iron Fist and you're a fan, jump on, because it's a fun book. But that being said, we kick off a little story arc here where Iron Fist is making his way back into the world after the tournament on the island, trying to find a way to help restore Kun Lun after it had been decimated. And his flight gets attacked by this group called the Sight. They're a bunch of ninjas who have this psychic touch ability that when they lay hands on you, you're sort of almost you're given like psychic visions and sort of compelled to submit to the master, who is called the Seer. And there's been a price put on Danny Rand's head, so they're looking to collect it. And it's a big kung fu brawl through the streets, and pretty much this whole issue is just Iron Fist and Shang-Chi kicking ass through the entire issue. It's pretty fun read. They finally get into the final chamber or whatever, where they have the Seer and his hordes. They're doing pretty well, but Shang-Chi gets subdued by the Seer, and just as the Seer is about to decimate Iron Fist the blow, Shang-Chi, who appears to be under the influence of the Seer, offers to do it himself, and that leaves off the issue. Not a terribly powerful issue. It almost felt like a little bit of a filler issue, but it's a pretty fun filler issue. I like it. If you're a fan of either character in Kung Fu books, this is a solid read. Like I said, it's almost straight action through and through, with Danny Rand and Shang-Chi teaming up and kicking ninja ass, and you know, Ed Brisson, I'm liking him more and more as the writer of Iron Fist. He really kind of won me over with the last arc. I'm really anticipating the Sabretooth arc, because I'm really intrigued to see how that'll play off, because I actually picked up the reprint of the first issue where Sabretooth appeared, and he's just so not Sabretooth in that first issue, which, you know, is to be expected, but I'm liking Ed Brisson's writing more and more, so I'm eager to see what he'll do. And the artist on this one, Mike Perkins, he's a good artist. He's got kind of trying to think of who it is I'm ready to compare him to. It's more of a grungy kind of style. It's dark and it's moody, but it kind of fits this story in particular. A lot of it takes place in the dark and through streets lit by neon and in kung fu chambers, and it's really kind of cool. And who doesn't like Shang-Chi? I've missed Shang-Chi, you know? Ever since, God, I think the last thing I read with him in it was fucking Masters of Kung Fu during the Battle World arc back in Secret Wars, and that was forever ago.
So. Ooh, please.
Yeah, dude, that's what I'm saying. He hasn't been around as much, you know? We need more Kung Fu kick-ass in our lives, so... but yeah, I mean, I'm glad to see him back in action, jumping in with Iron Fist in a book that makes sense for him to show up in. But I also just like the kind of camaraderie they have. They have a decent little chemistry here, and again, that's played up really well by Ed Brisson's writing. So, little short issue. It's going to be a shorter arc just to bridge the gap between the first major one and the second major legacy renumbering. But if you're a fan of Kung Fu, if you're a fan of Iron Fist, if you're a fan of Shang-Chi even, just jump in. You're probably going to get two decent issues out of this, maybe three, depending on how long they had it planned for, but I wouldn't bank on more than three. But it's a fun little issue. I would definitely give it some consideration. I'll give it a 3.5 out of 5. It was a fun little read with all kinds of kung fu action. Sounds like an action figure I'm advertising when I say that. Kung fu action, you know? But I really enjoy it, and you know, if you're a fan of Iron Fist, I think you will too. So 3.5 out of 5.
T-Man, do you have a review you wanted to talk about?
Nah, there really wasn't anything that came out last week,
Alright, well, this is going to be a really short show, not much to talk about. There's an echo, by the way.
I blame it on John. I blame everything on John. I blame the lack of, like...
You know what, I have something to say before we fucking go.
We gonna make fun of Old Man Whirlyburger?
Yay!
No, not gonna fame on Old Man Whirlyburger. I was gonna make a fucking statement because apparently it's fucking politically incorrect to say fuck Nazis. Yeah, you know, I'm gonna say this right fucking now. If you're a Nazi and you like this show, fuck off. I don't want your listens. There is no talking down. You are assholes. You are evil. I don't give a shit who you think you are. You have the right to express, you have the right to say what you want to say in this country. Yes. That doesn't mean you cannot be held accountable for what you speak, you white pieces of shit! Fuck you and your tiki torches! You were the fucking... You waved the flag of cowards! You waved the flag of people who got their asses handed to them on a silver platter! You lost both before. To take words from the great former great governor of California, from Arnold Schwarzenegger... That's a weird thing to say, and then I think about it.
I am the governor of California.
You worship losers. You worship losers. And just like last time, you're going to get your asses kicked again. Fuck Nazis. I feel I shouldn't have to say that. But given how it's quote-unquote now controversial to say fucking Nazis, because even people who I assume would say fuck Nazis are like, well, wait a minute. Let's hear their viewpoint. Like, no, fuck Nazis. I know what they want. I know what they want to do.
Wait.
Fuck them.
Okay. First of all, big proponent of free speech. Okay. Second of all, fuck Nazis. Third of all, I haven't seen anything anywhere that said it was controversial to say fuck Nazis. You know, I mean,
you'd be surprised. The circles I'm hanging around with, it's like I'm dealing with insane people.
What, the Twitter
I'm dealing with insane.
Is it Twitter or Tumblr?
No, not Twitter. Fucking in my real life job, just hearing people like just bringing it up, and it's like, well, they have the right to protest. So like, and I look at them. Do you not know what Nazis want?
Okay,
I understand free speech. I'm not saying
right.
They have their right
to not like what they're protesting about.
Right.
Time.
No.
So,
I'm upset that people are defending their views. Like, you shouldn't. Any right thinking mind. Not right. Any normal thinking mind should not think it's okay for them to like. You shouldn't hear them out. Fuck that noise. They're fucking Nazis.
No, I agree with that. You don't have to hear them out. All I say, and I stand by this because I do believe in free speech for all. I believe they have the right to say what they want. But you don't have to listen to it, though. See, there's a difference. You don't have to be there. You don't have to subject yourself to it.
Yeah, when they're crowding fucking city halls,
yeah,
and at least they're not crowding highways.
Because I've seen that with Black Lives Matter people. We're gonna block this highway. We're showing support, and then you know, got the nerve to get upset when somebody's like, "I gotta get to work." Fuck you. And I see, that's what I'm saying. You have.
I'm just saying, fuck Nazis.
I support Nazis.
Nazis are evil.
We here at the Mighty Warriors 3 would like to endorse the statement, fuck all Nazis.
Captain America when you... Not the guy running around in charge of Hydra, but the true Captain America. That's the guy that I want to take care of some Nazis.
Well, I mean, one of the most famous covers in Marvel Comics history is Captain America punching the shit out of Hitler.
Yes, that was... You know what? I think that should be the show covered for today's show.
It will be. I already planned it. Or at least, unless Facebook gets on my ass, gets on your on the ass, it's like, too many words on the image. What the fuck does that even mean? Facebook.
Robots.
I know.
Robots. All right,
well, let's get out of here. Point is, if you're Nazi, I don't want you to listen to my show. Fuck off. I don't think any Nazis listen to my show, but if you do, fuck off.
If you're from Germany, we're cool with you.
If you're German does not equal Nazi.
Shout out to Michael Haida, who put up with a bunch of bullshit on my own page where I found out one of my friends doesn't think Civil War had anything to do with slavery. So, you know.
Oh, wow.
Hey, yo, what's up, Mikey?
Yeah, that was...
Ignorance is bliss, my friend.
Shout out to Sebastian Mev Knock, who actually he gave me a really great idea of something to watch this weekend because I was on an 80s riff for openers, and I ended up stumbling upon, every single G.I. Joe opener. It ended with the movie, and after I watched a few episodes of Defenders, I ended up watching that, and then he posted it, he said, now you should follow that up with the only true really good Transformers movie. So yeah, I watched the 86 Transformers movie right afterward. So thumbs up and thank you, Maverick. Oh, my gosh. God, that was a great movie.
All right, well, let's get the fuck out of here.
See ya!
We'll see you. Oh, I will say this. Next week, not next week, the following, in 2 weeks, our Defender special will be. It's happening because I'm actually almost done with the series for once. I'm actually ahead of everybody. Okay, I'm ahead of Brian, and that's all that matters. So, yeah, in 2 weeks... you should be done with the Defenders by then because it's only 8 episodes. But just keep a warning, that will our in 2 weeks will be our special edition on the Defenders.
Can we do
so
Defenders
then,
of the Earth instead?
No.
Really? Because I'd rather do Defenders of the
Mandrake
Earth.
Mandrake the Magician and fucking the Phantom and
Lothar.
Flash Gordon.
Defenders of the Earth. Defenders.
Defenders All right. of the Earth. Watch people so
We're not
chicken.
Doing Defenders
That's
of the
head.
Earth. Sorry. We'll see you all in 2 weeks for another episode of the Mighty Warriors Team Marvel Podcast. Stay marvelous.
And fuck Nazis.
Yeah, fuck Nazis. Really. Listen. You hold the key to love and fear, all in your trembling hand. Just one key unlocks them both. It's there at your command. Come on, people now, smile on your brother. Everybody get together, try to love one another right now. Come on, people now, smile on your brother. Everybody get together.